Why is it so hard to ask your podcast audience to take an action? Okay, you timid podcasters, you'll want to listen to this episode as Steve Stewart shares five call to actions for timid podcasters so you can get more leads, more sales, and grow your audience. They are so easy to implement that you'll wonder why you didn't do it sooner. Let's take a listen. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, it's Lindsay Phillips again with the Leverage Your Podcast Show. And I have with me today Steve Stewart, and who is a whiz at podcast editing, especially in the niche of the financial industry, and even has a podcast editors club, which is amazing that you do that and collaborate with so many people. I always say the podcast industry is not competitive, more collaborative. So good for you for doing that. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Lindsay. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. And just for listeners, they all know that I love LinkedIn, and I probably saw you post on someone's post and just kind of checking you out. And I found a presentation that you did at FinCon, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And it was all about call to actions for timid podcasters. And it piqued my interest because I find that podcasters and sometimes even just entrepreneurs in general don't use call to actions enough to convert listeners to prospects and leads or even collaborations. Why are we so darn shy?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm that person myself.
I know, me too.
I just want to serve. I just want to help people. And yeah. So when I was doing my show, I had a personal finance podcast back in 2010 through 2015. And I was actually in a mastermind with other people who were just, you know, checking out each other's shows and giving feedback. And one of them said, you know, I like the content, but then I got to the end and I was like, what am I supposed to do next? Mm-hmm. He was looking for the next stage, the next step. And it's because I didn't do anything. I just said, thanks for listening. You know, I didn't even say, follow me on TikTok. Well, TikTok didn't exist back then, but you know what I'm saying? So it came at that point, I came to realize that yes, there was a piece missing from my show, and that was a simple call to action. And there's all kinds of different things and different ways that you can do call to action. But I didn't want to be the car salesman. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the guy that said, hey, go out and buy my book, go buy my course, sign up for this. I wanted to just serve people, but I had to do it in a way that was comfortable for me to say, hey, come reach out to me for personal finance coaching, stuff like that. So I was just like that, trying to be the servant, but also, what was I doing the podcast for if I wasn't trying to get something from doing the show myself? There had to be some kind of a payback.
Agreed. And I feel like you're almost like doing the person a disservice by not sharing a natural next step, because they're like loving your tips. They love your content. They love who you are. They're connecting with you. They're like, what's next, man? What else can I get from you? So yeah, I'm totally the same way where I feel it just feels kind of awkward. You had in your presentation examples of how, like, hard call to actions, like you just said, like kind of like sales-y types, and soft. How would you describe the difference? And can you give some examples of hard call to actions?
Yeah, a hard call to action would be more straightforward, almost just like a sponsorship ad. You know how we have some shows have ads, and this isn't necessarily for shows that monetize through ads, but you know, they come right out and say, you know, buy my course, buy my book, sign up for my mastermind. And those work great for some people, but the timid podcaster has a problem with that. They're, oh, you know, kind of come and check me out. You might want to follow me on this and that, you know, all the iffy words in there, kind of like sort of maybe. No, get rid of those kind of like sort of maybe words from your verbiage. So a hard example is that direct, and this is what you need, come buy my course, give me money, whatever it is. Most people don't say it that way, but that's the way I feel when I'm saying stuff like that.
I know, me too.
So then a soft call to action would be something more like, if you found this helpful, share the show with someone else. It's an easy way for a timid podcaster who truly believes what they're doing is helping people. If you're helping people, it's your responsibility mm-hmm. to share your knowledge, your wisdom, your tips with as many people as you can. So having, you know, a listener share with somebody else is a great way for growing an audience. And maybe that listener wasn't your ideal client, but maybe they know somebody who is. Following on social media, that's an easy call to action, soft call to A. Most people like to have that communication interaction online. So those are great. If you've got a free resource, you're not asking anybody for anything other than go check out my free resource. That's easy for a timid podcaster to ask for. And probably the one that I think is most beneficial to everybody in the space is getting into an email list.
Yeah.
Because the email list is really where you can forge a relationship with someone, even if you've never met them over time. They get to know you even more than just the podcast. And then that's where you can also then put things that say, hey, I'm available for coaching. I'm available for this. Mm-hmm. I have that product or service to sign up for.
I agree. And I have a question for you. So mm-hmm. I've seen people that have given like a lead magnet for a call to action that is like a specific thing to entice them to join your e-list. And I've also seen where it's been a page where there are like three options of resources you can get or ways to connect or book a call. What is your experience, or do you have a preference?
I think too many call to actions, you lose the potency of any of them. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, which one do I choose? Now, if somebody goes there with the intention, there's three on the page and they said, well, I wanted that one, they're more likely just to go right to it. But if you only had one call to action that you're directing people towards, you might have multiple calls to action, but you only do one at a time, not in the same episode, not in the same place on a website or even social media, but you're just saying, here, your call to action today is if you want these resources, come check out the show notes on my website. If you want this email series, sign up for a newsletter. Mm-hmm. If you want this free download, get on my newsletter list, whatever. Having more than one in one place can be a little confusing to some people. Like, oh, was it this one? Was it that one? I want it to be as clear as possible, because if I'm going to be a timid podcaster, I'm going to say, hey, I want you to take this action, please. You know, I want to make it, I want to happen. I want it to happen right away and not have any confusion. And of course, you don't want to be someone's tech support either. So make it easy. Just give them one call to action. And you can rotate your calls to action in every episode. You can, one could be your social media ones. Another one could be sign up for the newsletter. And then the third one could be a course or a book or whatever you've got.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because I've totally listened to some podcasts where they're like, you know, do this and then this and then this. And like, people aren't, they don't have like notepads. They're listening to podcasts, writing it all down.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, walking or doing things, or, you know, they're not paying attention that way. So like you said, exactly, be as concise as possible and just have the one.
That's and I think fun. I've heard you speak before about how have a link in your show notes or your show description that directs them to your website. On the website, you can have all the different places that people can go. So if you're going to have multiple things, have it all in one place on your website where they can then find the other things that maybe they're going to look for. But then there's not 10 things in the app. You know, I see in the apps and the descriptions, you know, follow this, you know, you want Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or Threads, you know, follow me on any of these places. Okay, which one do I hit? You might want to hit them all. But if I've got one place to go to, you know, have a link directly go to that page. And that way you can at least direct them to where all the resources are and they can pick from there if there is more than one thing in an episode.
True. You have like five different tips or five different call to actions. And one of them you said is the power of suggestion. What do you mean by that?
The power of suggestion can simply be, so I was in the personal finance space. I was building a financial coaching business. So in my shows, I would try to tell stories from coaching sessions, you know, examples of things. And that kind of places it in front in somebody's mind that, oh, he does coaching. So I'm suggesting to them in a way that they don't even realize that this is something I do and I can do for you.
Yeah.
You could mention how you have whatever it is that you're talking about in the show notes or in a course, in a book, in a blog post, and the blog post directs people to a newsletter or something like that. Or simply talking about a benefit. These are suggestions of, and it's all in the content. It's baked in there.
Yeah.
On you know, I'm qualified to do this. I'm speaking through authority.
I love that. And I think you're weaving storytelling into it, whether it's like a case study or information that you found, which is easier for people to listen to. But on the flip side as well, it piques curiosity. Like mm-hmm. you said, if you're talking about, oh, you know, when I was giving this advice to one of my clients in my whatever coaching program and it helped them do X, Y, Z, someone's going to be like, oh, coaching program. And then, you know, even if that's not your call to action in the podcast, they will be piqued enough to want to go to your website and check it out for sure.
Yep. So it's the second call to action you didn't even know that was there.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I love that. It's a ninja call to action. That's awesome. Now, how do you place it? Like, where do you put it in your episode? And like for you, I like to ask this question because you are a podcast editor. So like, do you have people just like naturally talk about it or say it, or do you like actually edit these call to actions in the episodes?
Yes, to everything. Both? It's everything. Yeah. We talked about, you know, product placement in the content where we're saying a story about something that we've, that's kind of putting it right in front of people, even though they don't know it's there. As far as when you're trying to directly give a call to action, and like I was giving my example earlier, I wasn't leaving any kind of call to action at the end. Mm-hmm. It's always good to have something at the end. Just some simple, hey, thanks for listening. Do this. So where you're putting those calls to action shouldn't interrupt the content. Okay. That's probably the thing I want. It's not where to put it, it's where not to put it. Because I was listening to a show yesterday that was recommended to me by somebody, and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. And there's two co-hosts, and one finished the thought, and all of a sudden they're talking about this Apple TV ad. Now, I didn't know the host, so I don't know if this is one of the two hosts or an actual ad. There wasn't any music behind it. And it's like 5 seconds later, I realized this is an ad. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, now I'm lost. And as soon as the ad's over, the other co-host says, and I like what you just said there. I was like, what?
Okay, that's weird.
Way wrong placement for an ad. There wasn't any cue. I wasn't transitioned in the process from one thing to another. It was just all of a sudden, bam, let me hit you with an ad. That felt really weird.
Right.
Very weird. So don't put that call to action in places where it just doesn't make sense. I think we can all figure out what that is. I don't need to explain. Don't put it in the wrong spot. If you're in the middle of a story about, you know, the guest you have on your show is talking about how, you know, their best friend died from COVID, you're not going to jump in with an ad for whatever. It just seems like the inappropriate time there. There's got to be a good transition point.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I've also seen or heard podcasts that have call to actions right at the beginning. What's your take on those?
I think it loses its potency because there's really no reason for me to do it yet. I haven't really, I've seen it before where one of the calls to action was, hey, leave us a review. I was like, well, I haven't even listened to the show. So what am I going to say? It took them 2 minutes to get to the beginning of the show. I mean, that's not a good review. Why would I want to leave that? So I don't see where asking for reviews, well, in most cases, I don't see where asking for reviews is very helpful in a lot of cases, as people think they are. They're helpful, but not in the way that people think they are. But follow me on this. Who are you? I don't know you yet. Now, for someone who's been listening for months, maybe this is the time they'll actually do that. But why does it have to be at the beginning of the episode? Mm. That call to action would be anywhere.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I find it get to the interview or get to the content. It just extends that intro a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you're asking me for stuff. Like, I know you're trying to be helpful, whatever it is that they're offering, but I'm like, I don't want to hear that at the beginning. That's just, I don't like that either.
I think it's human. I think it's being human.
Yeah. Agreed. You said to give like a tip of the week. in regards to like product placement or sharing a course or whatever it may be. And I thought, ooh, that's a good idea because it feels like a natural segue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tips of a week could be its own segment. I think it's kind of fun in some shows. But the way I used it to promote something that I was selling was an affiliate relationship I had with a budgeting program called YNAB. YNAB is short for You Need a Budget. And if somebody used my affiliate link, then I got a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
I love the software myself. I was telling stories about how it could be used in budgeting and stuff like that. So I turned it into a tip of the week, which became content. And the content, there you go, product placement. I'm placing it right there in the show as content. And I could say, if you want to try it for 34 days for free, go here and there's my special link. And that tip of the week was content and a sales pitch. But it was also something I totally believed in.
Yeah.
I've been using it for, wow, it's been a decade now. so I could easily say this is helpful to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it would be something that I could also benefit from by them using my link rather than just going to the website directly.
Absolutely. And I think like affiliate marketing is amazing for podcasters because like you said, you can share, oh, here's the tool of the week or the product of the week or what tip of the week, whatever it may be. And it's your chance to give a call to action that can actually help you monetize your podcast.
Yeah. And people are learning about whatever it is, the affiliate thing from you. So you've just garnered more of a relationship with your listener.
Exactly. Endorsements are key. One of your other call to actions is reviews and using it as content. And I've never seen this before. And I thought that was brilliant. Can you expand on that?
Really? I've seen people do this a lot. It's just not always done very well. The Stacking Benjamin show. So one of the first shows I've been working on, they've been around for 12 years now. They do an excellent job of asking for reviews without asking for reviews. I mean, they do kind of at the very end, but what they do is they will read a review. You've heard this before, I'm sure. People will read reviews, but that's the perfect opportunity for other people to see that, oh, Joey Jojo 163 left a review and they said this.
Yeah.
Plus, with the Stacking Benjamin show, it's more of a lighthearted fun show. So they have people write funny reviews.
Oh, that's awesome.
Again, content that becomes calls to action.
Yeah.
So in that, people share testimonies. They share their experiences with listening to the show. That's content. And that should be shared on the episodes where it feels appropriate and encourages other people to leave reviews. So that's a way to do it without asking.
I love that. And like for me, just kind of painting this picture for other people, I obviously do interview shows, but I do solo episodes as well. And I feel like that kind of scenario would lend itself better to when I'm doing a solo show versus like talking about a review of my own show as I'm chatting to you. Like that would just feel weird.
I did see a group that did it really well, or a show that did it really well. They would ask for a review for their show after the listener has emailed them. So it just became part of the conversation. Person writes in whatever, they had a question, whatever. The podcaster would respond, but then at the end said, hey, by the way, if you could, here's a link, go leave a review. And it was iTunes back then. Go leave a review in Apple Podcasts. So it was a way for them to have that relationship with the listener, not be right in front of the show with, hey, leave us a review, but they could then ask for it in an email. And they were much more likely to get that review because you gave them, most people are doing it, they're on their phones and they stopped listening to a show while they're checking their email.
Yeah.
They're reading your email. They're digesting what you just responded with. So then they hit the button and they go and leave a review. Sounds easy to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you think is the right way and wrong way of asking for reviews? Because I've heard some people have very strong opinions of what the right and the wrong way is of asking for a review.
Really?
I don't matter either which way, but.
Well, the way I'm going to answer this technically. The wrong way to ask for a review is say, go to your favorite podcast app and leave a review. Because you can't. You can only leave reviews in like four places.
Yeah.
That's Apple Podcasts or iTunes on the Windows machines, CastBox, Podcast Addict, which I think is Android, There's one more. I can't remember what it is.
Podchaser?
Well, Podchaser is a website. I don't consider that leaving a review.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because I'm listening on this on my smartphone. I'm not listening on my computer, probably. Yeah. So when you say wherever you listen to podcasts, okay, really? Is it everywhere? Because it's not. So ratings you can leave in more places than reviews, but even that's been limited. I mean, Spotify, the only thing you can do, unless it's changed recently, you can only leave a rating. And it's only if you've listened to the episode. I can't leave a review. So when you're asking somebody on an Android that's not Apple, what is it, Podcast Addict, to leave a review, they can't. They simply can't unless they go to a website, and then just like leaving a review on Google or on a website.
Yeah, that is a valid point. I've never actually heard anybody say that. But yeah, there's only a few places where you can actually leave a full review. But it's even nice to get like emails from a viewer and then putting that on your website or your show page or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not like a review that's in Apple, but it's still a valid piece of feedback that speaks to the audience and the validity of your show. Any comments that you get, it's great to share, I think.
Oh yeah. Feedback direct from a listener is so much better than Joey Jojo 163 on Apple Podcasts. I mean, there's no way for you to respond to an Apple Podcast review. So if it's good or bad, you can't say thank you or no way, get out of here.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about. It's a one-way street. So with an email, a message, a tweet, Instagram, they slide in your DMs. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's a huge win. Much better than a review.
Totally. Yep. And I think that with YouTube as well, and more podcasts going into YouTube with their podcasts, you know, people can comment. And so you can actually get that communication with your listeners, which is so valuable.
Yep. And different listeners.
Yeah.
People who watch on YouTube probably don't listen in a podcast app.
Agree. I prefer to watch the video part, like versions of podcasts, than audio. And I always do it on my computer while I'm in my office for whatever reason. So everybody listens and digests podcasts differently.
Yeah, I'm completely the opposite. I can't watch long form video on YouTube.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's a bit, you know, it's got to be something good for, I mean, Mark Rober. Yeah. Mark Rober does great videos.
Yeah.
So he keeps my attention for a good 20 minutes. After that, I don't know. Can I go 30? Can I go 40?
Yeah.
I usually get interrupted. I'm a podcast consumer. I prefer listening because I'm driving, mowing the lawn, walking the dog, whatever. I can consume that while doing other things. And that's the beauty of audio podcasts.
Yeah. We're all so different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what tips would you have to make it easier for the listener that is on the go to act?
Make it easier for the listener to go and act?
Mm-hmm.
Give them direct access to what it is you're asking for. So we were talking earlier about links. Yeah. If it's a specific call to action, then yes, that should be in the show notes, the description of the episode. That should be hyperlinked so that any apps that can hyperlink to the actual place, they just have to hit their screen and it takes it to it. And make sure it's clear on that page or wherever they're landing. That's what they need to do.
Yeah.
Sign up for this newsletter, get the download. By the whatever. That's my only suggestion in that answer.
I agree. And like keep URLs as short as possible because no one's going to remember some big, fat, long, crazy. Even when people do like whatever their business name is, / as soon as there's a / I'm like, oh, you've lost me. I'm like, go to GoDaddy and buy a domain. It costs like $25.
Yeah. If that domain goes to one thing, but if you got, you know, 5 different calls to action, are you buying 5 domains? And are the domains something that people are going to remember? Because a lot of the good ones are taken. Even, you know, 20 characters and less now. I mean, it's just hard to find a good one that people will remember. So I do like having, so if you have a WordPress website using a plugin called PrettyLink.
Yes.
So great. Because then, so my old show, it's still out there, but you know, obviously it's not being updated. It's called Money Plan SOS. So the website was moneyplansos.com. Everything was Money Plan SOS. So people got to know from my show title, the logo, I said it in the show, Money Plan SOS, Money Plan. So then if I had like YNAB, we were talking about the affiliate link earlier. I said, you want to try YNAB for 34 days for free? Go to moneyplansos.com/YNAB. And they would then be able to hit that link and go directly to where they're supposed to go for the call to action.
Yeah.
If I want them to go to, I could do this. I used to use PrettyLink to direct people to go and download a W-4. A W-4 is the form that people mm-hmm. will fill out for their employer to say, this is what I'm claiming. This is how much you should be taking out of my paycheck for taxes. So it was just really easy to say, go to, you know, moneyplanetsource.com/W-4. Or I forget what the actual URL was, yeah. but Schedule C, you know, if we're talking yeah. about small business stuff. So it was some way that I could have people go directly to something, but it was all branded with my name in it. Moneyplanetsos.com/. They can remember all that now.
Yeah.
It's the last part they have to. Oh, yeah, yeah. I got to remember this.
Keep it easy.
Yeah,
for sure. And the beauty of that is that you can actually track. So if you see like, oh, this link has been clicked, you know, mm-hmm. however many times, you can see where, and you only use that URL for your podcast, then you know that any traffic for that is coming from your podcast. So you can kind of see that correlation and see where your ROI is at, for sure.
Yeah. I believe PodPage also has the redirect type thing where it's your website slash, but then other people use services like Bitly.
Yes.
And there's another one that I heard about recently, but I haven't tried it, so I can't speak on it, but yeah, I think yeah. there's other tools out there, but then they may not have yourdomain.com/blah.
Yeah. I like that. And it keeps it nice and tight. And if your URL like mine, Smooth Business Growth or Smooth Business Podcasting, it's pretty easy. It's not some yeah. weird, there's no hyphens or numbers.
Yeah. The dashes and hyphens. Yeah. Oof.
Ooh, I know. Terrible. Yeah. Any lasting or last tips for any podcasters that is timid to ask for anything?
I'm trying to think of where we're going here. what have we left out? There's so many different things you can do. It's asking without asking.
Yeah. 'Cause
we all as podcasters want to help people, but we've got to have that call to action. So having the product there for them, whether you're putting it right in front of them or not, it's part of the content that makes it easy. You don't have to sit there and, hey, maybe sort of kind of like sort of, you know, oh, I hate those words. Yes, it's yeah. If you're helping people, be confident in what you're selling
yeah.
and confident in what you're doing, even though you're not saying, go out and buy my course. My course is available.
Yeah.
It's you know, right here at this website. There's a link in the show. It's going to make it as easy as possible for you. So if you're interested, boom, go here.
Yeah.
If you want to leave a review, I've made it easy to do that. Just make it easy. And it's not just easy for the listener, but it's easy on yourself.
Yeah, agreed. And I liked a comment that you made earlier, and it was like, if you like this, you know, then, you know, I have this tool that you're welcome to use. You can go here to use it. It feels more conversational and it feels like you're sharing it because you want to help the person mm-hmm. versus it being salesy. I think it's like how you phrase it is definitely matters.
Yeah. How many times have you gone to somebody's website to their resources page because they mentioned a tool, a tip or something that they use and you're like, oh, what was that? And you go and you see that they have a resources page and there's all the things that they use yeah. for their business, for their whatever it is. So helpful. And all they did was mention, hey, it's a resource. And by the way, I've got a page on my website with that mm-hmm. stuff.
Absolutely. And the more mm-hmm. times you direct people to your website, the better. They're going to learn about you. They're going to see all your call to actions on your website. So they're going to pick something that interests them the most, see yep. your content, engage, reach out. Yeah. Anytime you can push people to a website, it's good in my books.
Yep. Socials, contact page, about me page.
Yeah.
Get them interested in more about you. That way they're spending more with you than they are with other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Awesome. Well, I'm so glad you came on the show and shared those call to action tips. Hopefully we'll get some braver podcasters out there and, yeah. And just to even have the goal of like, okay, how can I weave one call to action in one episode every time? I think it just will become more natural as you kind of get used to it and gain more practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall I leave my call to action here for the listeners?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I do, though, want people to know what it is that you do so that you can support podcasters that are out there. So, yeah, tell me a little bit about your production services.
Right. It just seems like now I'm selling, which is, I'm nervous about it.
I'm asking you to share the information.
Yeah. Plus, it seemed to fit the theme of this episode.
Yes.
So I do editing for personal finance podcasters. If somebody's a listener and they're looking for an editor and they're not in the personal finance niche, I have a whole community of podcast editors. See, this is where I'm trying to help others. I know, yes, I'm helping others, so I can easily say I can help people find an editor because I've got 8,500 plus people in my community. Wow. They're all, a lot of them are looking to help podcasters by taking that weight of editing off their shoulders. So they can reach out to me. Just come to my website, stevestewart.me. Or if they want to join my Facebook group, if they are interested in editing themselves, yeah, Podcast Editors Club on Facebook. Simple as that.
Perfect. Awesome. So great to meet you. And always great to chat with other people in the podcasting industry and get their tips and takes on different elements of podcasting. So thanks for all your tips.
Hey, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure. I mean, I've been really admiring your stuff on LinkedIn. You're really killing it there. So I'm learning a lot just by watching you.
Aw, I appreciate that. And I from you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.